Carla Johnson, and I would like to thank you for being a part of the original podcast of Lucrative Minds, Iron Shoppers Iron, hosted by me. We are raising awareness on self-love and detachment. And in this podcast, we inspire, uplift, and encourage you. Each week, we present thought-provoking topics that add value for our Freedom Fridays. We meet every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, where I'm a big deal, you're a big deal, we're all a big deal, and this is Iron Shoppers Iron. I grew up in a very toxic household. My guardian figure was emotionally unavailable and also narcissistic. I was not taught my value. I was not shown love or taught to love myself. So I struggled with that in the beginning as an adolescent when I got to junior high school and in high school, like longing to fit in, seeking validation from my friend groups, not just knowing who I was or really had an identity. There was a lot of fear surrounding my childhood trauma due to my authority figure was a strong disciplinarian. I also had a lot of religious trauma that I had to overcome and deal with as well. In order for me to get and embark on this journey of loving myself, I had to really sit back and take a look at what my fears was. Why was I this way? Why was my belief system this way? What did I value? And actually, what happened, right? So I haven't spoke out about this much about my childhood upbringing because there was a lot of shame attached to it, right? I was so ashamed of the way I was treated, different from the other children, was punished very harshly, different from the other children, not being supported as a child, no one showing up for me, you know, like, so that in itself was not hard for me to finally detach from that whole dynamic of the family. Not saying for one second that I don't love them, not saying for one second that I have a resentment towards them, because it's further from the truth. I love my family with all my heart. I pray for them continuously. I just know in order for that unhealed, wounded child of me not to show up, it's best that I just stay away, right? And I say this because still to this day, my family chooses to support who they want to. And that's okay, right? I had to get with the fact that that's okay, Carla. That they don't have to show up for you. They don't have to support you, right? And that was a hard pill to swallow, right? For me, coming up and being the second of my mother's children, seeing my authority figure treat and show favoritism toward my older siblings, that was a lot of confusion surrounding that, because as a child, I couldn't understand that, because I'm like, okay, we're in the same household together. I noticed that she treats her this way and treats me this way, right? I was always like the go-to, like to do any type of household chores, any type of store runs, any type of outside maintenance work to the yard. It was Carla, Carla, Carla. More so like a Cinderella almost. And I remember being around 12 or 13 years old and my authority figure sending me to a store called Kmart. We had a store called Kmart back where I'm from, to go and steal clothes for me and my two younger siblings. And I say this all the time. That led to me stealing in my adolescent years. That led to me stealing, which carried on to my adult years, because it was a crime. You know, I didn't understand like how she could pay for my older sister clothing and shoes, but send me a 12-year-old to steal. And in the beginning, before I started to heal, before God dealt with my hard posture on it, I was very angry. I was very resentful. I was, because I'm aware of it, right? It's not like I was sleeping. It's not like I wasn't conscious of what's going on. From the youth up, I was conscious of the treatment in the household that I grew up in, from the youth. Whether I said anything about it or not, I was conscious of it, and it didn't sit well with me. So as time progressed and time went on, you know, I ended up picking up other habits, like drug addiction became one of my habits because I didn't have a coping mechanism for the suicidal ideations that I was having, right? I had so much deeply rooted trauma that had not been dealt with. I started acting out. And I went through a lot of institutions, right? For sure, I went to a lot of treatment centers. I had 7 treatment stays before something actually triggered in me and I actually did get clean, right? I always wanted to get clean. I just didn't know how to get clean. I didn't think I had what it take, let me say that, to get clean. I just didn't see it for me, right? I had this vision and this image of me being buried. I had this image and vision of me being buried and my children around my casket. You know, she just couldn't get it right, right? And I was like, oh God, I want to get clean, but how do I get clean? Like, every time I go to a treatment center, I go back to my old neighborhood. I go back there and then I end up using again, right? So what I had to do for me, and it worked, I had to come out of that environment setting, right? For sure, I had to come out of that, be placed somewhere else where the drugs were not so easily accessible, where I was not hanging around those same individuals. And people say that doesn't make a difference. They talk about not making a geographic change, X, Y, and Z. I say whatever you have to do to get yourself clean, do it. And only you're going to know what works for you, right? I'm not going to be able to tell you what worked for you. I can just tell you what worked for me. And so I also come from a household where we didn't talk a lot about mental illness. No. Something wrong with you? You crazy, right? That's how we talked about it. We passed over it with the minimal concern, not addressing what actually was going on. I remember being like 7 or 8 years old and having anxiety attacks, having panic attacks so enormous that it felt like I was going to die, you know, or having a panic attack so strong where I didn't go to sleep. I had a fear of falling asleep for years and it never was addressed, right? Because I was too afraid to speak up and speak out to my authority figure about what was going on with me, right? I'm like, why can't she see this? I'm a child. I'm up all night. When she wakes up in the morning, I'm up looking at her. And then I would finally go to sleep. And luckily, school was out for the summertime. So I found myself an adult, clean and in recovery, having to address the anxiety, having to address those fears, having to seek outside help. Now, don't get me wrong. When I turned 19 years old and I was having those suicidal ideations, I did seek help from a psychiatrist. She did give me some medication, but no treatment plan. Like I was not taught any coping skills. I was just given a medication and I didn't really understand it at that time. I had someone living with me and I was too ashamed of having my medication out in the house. I never forget it. And it was my house, right? And that comes from the belief system that was created when I was a child that if you had mental health issues, that you were crazy, right? We just didn't deal with it in my community. You know, they didn't deal with it in my household. They labeled you as crazy. So they're shaming that within itself. Who wants to be labeled as crazy? No one wants to be labeled as crazy. No one. Not even the people who are actually crazy want to be labeled as crazy. And I say that for me. I speak for the crazy people, right? I know I'm not all the way there at times. I know I have manic episodes. I know I have anxiety attacks. I know I overthink from time to time. But today the difference is I have coping skills and I work at it, right? I put my best foot forward each and every day trying to be the best version of Carla that I can ever be, right? While living with mental illness, right? Because it has a language now, right? I have identified that this is what's going on with me and I have reached out and asked for help via psychiatrist, via therapy, whatever, and have gotten the help that I needed. And it's a day-to-day activity. I live with it, right? It doesn't just go away. Like, I have anxiety today, I don't have anxiety tomorrow. That's not how it works for me. So I say, you know, like, if you are going through anything, you know, I stress this, you can come back from whatever it is. I am living proof that you can come back from whatever it is. I have been homeless. I have prostituted. I have been a IV drug user. I was trapped in addiction in the opioid pandemic. I have boosted. I have gone to prison. I have lost my children. I have lost my children and didn't get them back. I have gone through this journey without the family support. And here I sit today, just me and God, right? And I'm just so grateful for the group of people that God hand chose and put in my life, because he would knew that I would come to this point in my journey. So when I share my story, I don't share my story from a place of pain. I don't share my story from a place of sympathy. I share my place from a point of identification, right? Hoping that when my story is spoken, right, that someone can hear it, and they may be going through the same thing that I went through and just cannot see a light at the end of the tunnel. How do you think that, Carla? Because I remember going through it and did not see a light at the end of the tunnel. Like, I saw disaster for me. I saw death for me. I have been raped on those streets. I have been beaten on those streets. I have gone through so much, but yet I still sit here. But yet I still sit here today, clean, in my right frame of mind. I'm safe in my apartment, right? The utilities are on, right? I'm a productive member of society, for sure. I have a job with that values me, right? That I feel seen and I feel heard today, right? I actually have a voice today. I can speak up and speak out about what's going on with me. I can speak up and speak out about what happened to me that led me to do some of the things that I did. All made up who Carla is, right? And it's not saying that that's who I am, that's what I did, right? Let me correct that. That's not who I am, that's what I did. And I have to always be mindful of that so I don't fall into the victim mindset, or I don't fall into the shame and guilt of it all, right? Because I say this right here. No one knows what's going on. And everybody wants to tell you how to do it. But no one really knows what's going on, right? Today is the first day. I haven't ever seen this day before in my life, right? I do not know what's going to come down the pipe. My today is not looking like my yesterday, so I cannot approach my today like I did yesterday, right? I have to approach today with a clear mind, right? Knowing that God walks with me each and everywhere, holding my hand, even when I cannot trace him. Even when I don't feel his presence, he is still here with me. Well, why do you say that, Carla? How do you know? I remember being raped. I will never forget it. I remember being raped in the streets of Memphis, Tennessee. Oh, my God. And just the fear, right? The guy, he held something to my back, right? And I say today, I don't know if it was a pistol or not, right? But he convinced me that it was, right? And so I know people, I've heard stories of people that are raped and then you never hear from them again. They're raped, beaten, and killed, or they're raped and burnt, like different things. That wasn't my plight, right? So I know that in that, God was with me, huh? And another reason why I know God was with me, I will never forget it. It was a time when I was in active addiction and I thought promoting prostitution was okay, right? So I went to this neighborhood, you know, and I was loaded, like out of my mind loaded. And I will never forget, this guy pulled up in a white truck, an older model Expedition, and something, it wasn't nobody but the voice of God said, do not get in that truck. Do not get in that truck, Carla. And of course, right? Under the influence, I ignored that still voice, still got in that truck, right, and proceeded. And I told the guy, hey, just take me to the store down the road. I was going to go in there and grab me some scratch-off tickets. And I noticed that when we pulled up to that store, he did not pull close to the door. Like, it was parking spaces right by the door. He stopped, like, as soon as you come in the driveway of the store, like, right at the end of it. And I was like, this is different, right? Like, I'm noticing all of this. So I go into the store, grab my scratch offs, come out to the store. He was like, where do you want to go? I said, well, my grandmother lives a couple streets over. We can just go around there, right? He's like, okay. So I noticed as we was heading to my grandmother's house, he started slowing up on a street or so before our house. And I was like, this is crazy, right? He did not even put his gear in park before he leaned over and hit me. Wham! I was like, oh my God. And hold on, this was a big guy, like 6'2", like 250 pounds, big guy. I don't know where the strength came from in me, but yes, I do. It came from God. I had strength that I didn't even think I had to get this up off me. That's all I knew. Carla, the way he hit me, I knew my life was gone, right? I knew if he would have got a second hit or able to pin his weight on me, then it was over for me. I knew then I had to go into fight mode, right? And I knew God was with me because I ended up maneuvering my way out the truck, right? Because he ended up pulling over. I ended up maneuvering my way out the truck and running down the street. And I'm talking about running down the street naked because I had on like a sweater dress. And so in me trying to get him up off me, because he ended up getting on top of me, trying to come out, I came up out the dress. So I have nothing on, running down the street, running down the street, running. And you cannot tell me that God was not with me. I'm talking about nobody could tell me that God was not with me. Who else was it? Right? I'm loaded. I'm out of my mind. I'm not able to think clearly. I don't really know what's going on, but I know that he is trying to get the best of me, and I don't, it doesn't seem like I'm gonna leave out of here alive. It didn't seem like it. No. He was in to take me out. He was in it to take me out for sure. And I'm just real grateful that, you know, like as I look back over my life, that God didn't give up on me. I got so much gratitude for the fact that God did not give up on Carla, even when Carla gave up on Carla. Because I gave up on myself, right? I did not see a way out. I thought that I was so far down that God was like, I'm done with her. And that's further from the truth. You know, my God, I'm just truly, truly grateful for you guys allowing me to be transparent in this moment. I'm truly, truly grateful for the platform and a safe space where I can open up and share a part of who I am and a part of my journey so you can understand better who I am and how I came to be the person that I am today. And so with that being said, Lucrative Minds and Iron Sharpens Iron is a podcast that inspires and uplifts you, right? Because we all need motivating. We all need motivating. We all need encouragement because life shows up for everyone and you cannot plan for it. That's the thing about life. You do not plan for it. Like today is a new day. You will see something in this day that you didn't even expect, that you didn't even have on the radar to see it today, but it showed up, right? Man, I know because I'm living and I'm on this journey and it's times where I need motivating. It's time where Carla needs encouragement. It's times that I just don't even have it in me. Like it's like my hope is gone. It's like my faith is being tested. I don't know where God is. If he's right here, God, what are you doing? Are you resting on your laurels? What is going on here, right? And so it's been many of times that I have had to motivate myself. Times that I've had to tune in. I love to tune in to Sarah Jakes Roberts. She always has a word for me. I have to tune into her, you know, to like come up out of that depression, to come up out of that sadness, to come up out of that fear, right? You know, we all need each other. Right? We all need each other and it takes a village. It doesn't matter how old you are. You're never too old, right? As long as you have breath in you, you will always be learning. There will always be something to learn and there will always be something new. I just want to say thank you guys for tuning in. And remember, I'm a big deal, you're a big deal, and we're all a big deal. And this is Iron Sharpens Iron. Thank you.